Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. With us this evening, we have the authoring team of the Silver Platter series, calling us directly from Canada, Daniela Silver and Noreen Gillets. Good evening, ladies. It's a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nice to hear your voice.
Before we start talking about the cookbook, let's hear a little bit, in the case of Daniela, how did you get motivated to write this book, and how did you manage to hook up with Noreen?
Okay, so it started off, we have my family, two of my kids have pretty severe allergies, and when it came time, you know, preparing food for them, I had to alter so many of the recipes just to make them feel comfortable, you know, and not make them feel different. And it just happened where I just evolved many, many recipes. And I remember turning to my husband one day and saying, you know, I have all these recipes that I do, you know, feel okay and not different, that I think I'm going to write a cookbook. He told me, oh no, I think you're crazy. It's not going to happen. But I said, no, I'm going to do it. I think I have the potential to do it. And that's kind of where the whole thing started. It really started with my kids having allergies and me kind of having to take a look at, you know, what kind of foods and ingredients I put into the meals. And that's kind of how the recipes evolved. And then as for how I got in touch with Noreen, I mean, the truth is I don't really have any culinary experience other than being a mom and just kind of relating to other people like me. I enjoy cooking, and but I don't like to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. And I had all these recipes, and I thought, you know, how do I take this to the next step? You know, I have all this stuff, but I need someone with more experience, someone who could guide me. And happens to be, I'm fortunate that Noreen lives in the same city as me. And Noreen has been a household name of mine forever. My mother used her cookbooks. My grandmother used her cookbooks. And I felt like I knew her just from, you know, enjoying her delicious food my whole life. So I called her up out of the blue. I said, hi, you know, I'm Daniela Silver, and I would love for you to give me a chance, really give me a chance, see what I have, see my recipes, and tell me if, you know, I have the potential, or just guide me. So I did that, and for anyone who knows Noreen knows that she just makes everyone feel so special, so important. And I called her up, and she said, absolutely, come see me, let's see what you got. So I went to her house. We live about, I don't know, 20 minutes drive, not even, 15 to 20 minutes away. And she looked over my stuff, and, you know, we just had an instant connection. She obviously saw the potential in my recipes and, you know, my ability to create, you know, new recipes with fresh ingredients that don't take people a lot of time to make. And that's kind of how it happened. And, you know, we say in life, things are beshared. And I think Noreen and I collaborating is really a beshared. And we just work so well together.
No, I was going to say, I agree 100%, Chaim.
What?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that? I spoke over your voice. I'm so sorry, Chaim.
I said, obviously, it must have been a very good collaboration because you then went on to write a second book. The first one was The Silver Platter. The second one was The
Correct.
Silver Platter, Simply Elegant.
Right.
Simply
Correct.
Elegant.
Right.
Obviously,
so,
it must have been a very good collaboration. So let's hear some
more,
both from Daniela and from Noreen.
Well, I think Noreen and I have a good combination. You know, Noreen, and she can tell you right after, you know, comes at it from a lifetime of, you know, culinary experience and wisdom. And she's written so many cookbooks, you know, and I come at it from like a new perspective, a new generation. And So, you know, by me writing the recipes, and Noreen kind of, you know, contributes by her techniques and her variations, it just works. You know, Noreen always has something amazing and new to say about the recipes. Noreen, I'm sure you could elaborate on that.
Yes, well, what happened is Daniela is extremely creative and extremely passionate about her recipes, and she wanted to write and share all the things that she had developed so that other people who had kids with allergies or who had young families, so that they would be able to enjoy good recipes without spending a lot of time in the kitchen. And I'm very practical, and I know what readers want. So between the two of us, it worked out really well because she brought the creative aspect. For me, food styling is I put four things on a plate in a row, and maybe, you know, they'll be a little bit fancy, and that's about it. Daniela has a beautiful flair for entertaining, for making simple dishes look wonderful and elegant. Simple ingredients put together, she just makes everything shine. She's really spectacular in what she creates.
Well,
excuse me, I have my voice bad.
Very, very nice. The photography in both books is very, very nice. It is quite obvious that not only is the photographer a very good food photographer, but just as importantly, if not more important, whoever did the food styling had a tremendous feel for color, a tremendous feel for making it look like you just want to grab it off the page.
Thank you. Yes, we used Noreen actually gave the referral. His name is Abe Warnovetsky. He's Mexican Jewish guy that moved to Toronto years ago, and you know he's the stylist. He's very passionate about his work and what he does, and he's such creative ideas, and we all got along really nice, and we used him for the first book and the second book, and it just worked.
And Daniela didn't tell you, she did the cooking. She probably did more in one day than most people can do in a week. She just has huge energy. I could not believe how many recipes they shot in a day, and they had a whole plan. And I would just sort of look through the lens when I would come to some of the food shoots, and I'd say, well, maybe just move this over here. And I would just put little final touches on things. But the two, both she and Abe and the whole styling team, they just knew how to make food pop off the plate.
Well,
yeah, and the food was all and the best part of all, Chaim, was the food was all edible afterwards. Oh, everything was devoured afterwards.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think, you know, what the book speaks true to itself. You know, the first one, simple to spectacular and simple elegance. It's really, you know, both books, I had like a timeline for the photography, and I kind of like to get things done in a quick and efficient manner. And just as the subtitles of the book, like just as it says, like that's what I did. We shot about 10 photos a day, which means I had to prepare 10 dishes, prepare for the next day 10 dishes, you know, cook them and plan and get all the ingredients. And, you know, it's funny because when it came time to doing a lot of the photos, we never ended up using a lot of the dishes that we prepare in advance because the dishes itself just looked so good in what it was cooked in. So there really was not a lot of food styling that needed to be done. It like what you see is what you're going to get. And that's what the message of kind of both books are.
Very good. Now I have a question for you. We're almost
on
the brink of the Purim, preceded by Shabbos. So let's take a look at both your books and give me what would be a perfect Shabbos meal, Friday night, Shabbos during the day, and Seudah Shlishit. And then let's go into what do we do for Purim.
Okay. I'll let Daniela answer that one because she prepares Shabbos just about every week. I'm usually a guest because I'm on my own, where Daniela has a huge family here in Toronto. So, Daniela, you go ahead and you just, you know, outline.
Okay,
Daniela can make Shabbos in an hour. She's really quite familiar.
Okay,
wow.
So you want a menu from each book. Is that what you
right.
want?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can start with the first book. And which meal is this? Which meal is first? The Friday night.
Night?
You want a Friday night meal?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, and this is Purim-based or just like what I do on a typical
Shabbat?
No. Shabbat?
This is Shabbos, and then we'll go into Purim.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so
we're
going to
do the
Shabbos?
Three meals of Shabbat, and then we'll talk about the big souda on Purim evening.
Okay, really?
Towards the
okay,
end of Purim.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell all the readers which pages the recipes
right.
are from. Okay, so let's say a typical Friday night, I start off with a sticky sesame salmon, page 94. I'd plate it. And then I would serve on the side crunchy celery and cucumber salad, page 68. And then I would always go to
okay.
my favorite chicken soup, which I have the recipe in the first book, page 44. And I always serve the soup with the rice noodles. My daughter's gluten-free, so these rice noodles, like the vermicelli noodles, are amazing. And then for the meal, I always have, so usually on a Friday night, I do some kind of, either like a brisket or, my favorite in the first book is the raspberry London broil, page 148. I love that one. And then my chicken would be, in this book, I really like the sun-dried tomato chicken. That's my favorite. I can tell you what page that is on. Okay, that's 134. And then my meal always includes two starches and then two vegetables. So a vegetable would be the spiced cauliflower, 238, and then
mm-hmm.
a fresh green salad, which would probably be, I'm trying to think of a salad, maybe the kale salad with
yeah, the kale,
roasted
the kale
sweet
with
potatoes.
The sweet potato salad is wonderful.
Yeah. And then I'm missing a side dish. So a side dish green, I always do. And then a side, oh, I always have potato kugel, some kind of potato kugel. So the overnight potato kugel I would do. And then maybe a key, oh, and the apple cranberry couscous, page 204. So that would be my meal. I have two proteins, a meat, and like a meat and a chicken, two starches and two vegetables.
And
then
what
for
about
dessert?
Dessert's
my
favorite.
I would say my daughter's gluten-free, so I usually like to prepare a dish for her that everyone can enjoy. So I will give you which dessert. Usually, here, Noreen, this is it. This is a you dessert.
Oh, your cookies.
I'll do that. Rocky,
now, what about your wonderful cookies?
Those are
have all
the
cranberries
chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those ones are also good. So any type of cookie for dessert.
Okay.
And then there's also that beautiful cake with a double glaze on it.
That's a double glazed marble cake, which is really delicious. Yeah.
By the way, one of my favorites from each book is first the... In the second book, the bourbon marinated prime rib.
Yep.
I'm a South American, so without meat, without beef, a meal is not a meal. I mean, it's impossible. How can one exist without being a carnivore to the core, you know? Anyway, going back to the first book, this week I tried something that everybody who knows me knows it would not have been possible. In fact, I happen to be talking to Levana earlier this week, and I happened to remark to her that I cannot eat fish. I have a problem with fish. Well, I tried the basil salmon. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's wonderful.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good one.
It's very good.
And
for
somebody who
love.
Does not like fish, somebody who gags at the mere sight of fish, to say that it was incredible, believe me, it was truly incredible.
Oh, that's so good. That's actually one of my favorites from Simple Elegance. It's so good. The crunch of the almonds, and it's a wonderful dish. I usually serve that for Shabbat lunch, like as an appetizer.
Now, what do we do for Seudah Shlishit? Something which would be either parveh if it's an early Shabbat, or dairy if it's later.
I think I'm still talking about book one or book two you want, or it doesn't matter?
Both of them.
Okay, so I think for a Shalosh Shudis, a nice dish, a few dishes would be, if you're going to do dairy, maybe like the caprese penne salad from the first book, because that gives you, like a nice pasta salad. And then probably from the second book, I would choose for sure a quinoa dish or like the zoodles, because that's very new and out there right now, the zoodles, quinoa, and more. Both of those are very good for Shalosh Shudis. You have the protein of the cheese
delicious.
Along with the quinoa. Yeah, they're very, mm-hmm. very good. I think those two dishes would be good for Shalosh Shudis.
Okay, now let's go into Purim. What are we doing
okay.
on Purim?
Oh,
okay,
you know
so
what
Purim.
I love is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Noreen.
I was going to say, if you're, of course it's going to be Hamantash, which we didn't do in the book, but the idea, if you don't want to do that, Daniela has a wonderful salted chocolate ganache tart. And if you cut that in wedges, that they're triangular, so it's
mm-hmm.
absolutely gorgeous. And you've got the contrast between the salt and the chocolate with that wonderful ganache. It's just beautiful. And the lovely thing about it is parve, and there's a gluten free option as well. So it's really, really wonderful.
Very good.
Those are
now,
good.
What about the big meal?
Yeah. I think for Purim, also just add to what Noreen says, for our Suda, because it's Ben HaFochu, my husband always insists that our first course is dessert. So we always have some kind of dessert. And in both books, there's two sections of cookies and treats in both of them. And both of them are mm-hmm. filled with just, not big kind of desserts, but little desserts that you can put out throughout the whole table. In the second book, I have chocolate mounds, or I have, what else? Lots of different chocolate barks, chocolate biscotti, and then the first, crispy peanut butter bars. And then the first book, I have, chocolate covered pretzels. And those are all really fun kinds of desserts, I think, that would be great for Purim and to brighten up your table. And then as far as the meal, I'm trying to think, maybe like a nice brisket would be nice for the main course. And then maybe for an appetizer, what would be really nice that I have in the second book is deli-wrapped pretzels. It's kind of fun and easy to eat and very delicious. Everyone loves them. That would be a good starter.
And also the roasted vegetables with the tara chips is fabulous.
Yeah,
which
that would
make
be
a
really nice one as well.
That would be really pretty, lovely, and colorful. And the tara chips give a little bit of crunch, and you've got the wonderful color with the beets and the sweet potatoes and squash and a lovely glaze with olive oil and honey and a little bit of rosemary. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Also for dessert, in the second book, there's chocolate dunked pineapple, which would be really fresh and nice to serve because it's still like a dessert, but it's like a healthier dessert.
The whole thing sounds like a delicious meal. I think I'm going to invite myself over to Canada.
come on over.
You can come to the Suda
okay.
on Sunday night. Danielle is making a lovely Suda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, both books have been filled with great recipes, great photography. It was quite obvious that both books were works of love. Is there any third book in the offing?
Ah, that's a secret. it takes time. You know, you can't be a machine. That's the problem, Chaim. People think, you do one book,
true.
Then another. It takes time to come up with a concept. People have lots of recipes to work from meanwhile, and we want, we'll do something down the road, but we're giving it a little bit of a break and a little bit of time to kind of, just to come up with a concept that's going to work, because the main thing that's important is to do something that the readers will enjoy. You should always write for your readers, and you have to fill a need. You don't
Absolutely.
Write for yourself. You do write for yourself, but you have to write for the reader and provide something that will fill a need for them. So we want to make time in the kitchen very fun and creative and not an effort. And it's a good chance to bond with your children. We like to do things where, kids can get involved. So we're thinking about it. But we haven't started anything yet. We're just, you get a little bit burnt out, and you have to refresh, and you have to recreate again.
You know, I think, like you said before, you can see the amount of effort and work that was put into the first books, and I think Noreen and I agree that, like, our main thing is quality, and like, I believe in a good quality book. I'm not just putting out a book just for the sake of putting out a book. I want to produce a product that people will, use and enjoy for a long time, and not because I can just put out a book. So I put a lot of credit and I put a lot of work and effort into these books. And I think, giving our readers a chance to enjoy the recipes is what's needed right now. So, to take off a year or take off a little bit of time just to, regroup, I think it's important. And I think, even for myself and my family, the second book was produced so quickly after the first that I didn't even get a chance to enjoy my own recipes. And now, I take such pride in, figuring out what's for dinner, and I put my two books in front of me and I choose the recipes. So if I'm still enjoying them, I think other people are too. So we'll just enjoy for now and then get back to it. Shortly.
Now, turning to you, Noreen, you were one of the very first of the kosher cookbook authors.
You're making me sound like I'm 127 years old. I've been writing for a long time.
Remember,
I've been writing since
127. We were told that Sarah Imeno at 127 was like 20, was like 7. So you're a young girl of 7 who has been very busy writing.
I love to share my knowledge.
Now,
I put my recipes into print, then I have them for future, so I don't have to worry, how did I make this? So it's a little bit selfish as well. I like to create, and I like to share, and I like to teach. And so that's why I've been writing. I've written 12 books.
Right. I do have about 3 of them. I have to get the rest. Now, I do have a question for you. How did you get started?
Sure.
Where did that love of cooking come from?
I always loved to cook. I was very fascinated how you could take simple ingredients and transform them into something so wonderful, and people connect with food. My mother was an outstanding cook. She could take nothing and make it into something. And I would watch her pull strudel dough. I would watch her make buns to make the yeast grow. I would watch her make cake. She would send me outside because she'd say, well, if you're in the house and you make noise, then the cake is going to fall. And I couldn't wait to come back and see how the cake was going to turn out. And I knew that if you made it at home, it was always going to be better than anything that came from a bakery or a restaurant. I didn't grow up going out to restaurants, actually. For us, going to a restaurant was going out for a corned beef sandwich or some french fries, because I grew up in a very frugal home. And my mother would say, do you know how much it would cost if I had to buy this? Look what I made. And she would count. I made 62 knishes, and it cost me whatever, so much per knish. So I watched everything being made. I grew up with Jewish cooking, kosher cooking. It was just fascinating to see how food became so wonderful and so the ingredients transformed into something so special. So I always love to do things. But at the beginning, I was terrible. I mean, I didn't like onions, so I wouldn't put them in. And my father always said, you know, I can tell you made it because it was missing this or it was missing that. But over time, I eventually learned how to cook, and I would call my mother long distance when I moved to Montreal, and I'd say, "Mom, I really miss, you know, your cinnamon buns. How did you make them? Or how did you make your strudel? Or how did you make your knishes?" And I would go home, and she would always make wonderful things for me, things that I missed. So, I don't know, just my life revolved around the kitchen. So that's where my love of food came from, really. Just something I learned from the home. You know, food connects people in a very, very special way.
Absolutely.
We're all connected. Yeah, it's no matter what, you sit at a table, you share a recipe, you share a meal. It's really not what's on the table, it's who's at the table. And then you talk about the food, and everybody has their own way of doing things, their own little twists and turns that make it very special. I have a group on Facebook, and it's fascinating. Somebody will post a recipe, and everybody has a different version. And then somebody says, well, that's how my grandmother made it, or that's how my aunt made it, or my mother made it. And it just... there's just something so special. I really think that food connects us to family and to our heritage, and we pass it on to our children. It's a wonderful. I think it's a wonderful way to stay together. You know, to stay together as a family. You know, it's better to eat together at the table than to just everybody sitting, you know, just with a plate and looking at a TV screen or a computer screen. You know, you should talk to each other. This, when you share recipes and you share a meal, you learn about each other. People relax when they're at a table.
Well, when you look at any of the current cookbooks that have come out in the last 10 years, not only do you see great recipes, not only do you see great photography, but somehow you get to know something about who the author or authoress is. Whereas in the olden days, the old cookbooks were just like medical prescriptions, you know, very dry, such and such a recipe. These are the ingredients. This is how you prepare it. Today, it's much more personal. And
right. Yes,
going back to what you said about food teaches you about heritage and everything. As you know, I am in the midst of writing a book on the history of Jewish food. And it's interesting in my research how I found how food caused some of the earliest wars in history.
Oh, really?
Food changed politics. Food caused all types of alliances. It's incredible how food changed history. And yes, there are many books that were written for example, History of the World in Six Glasses, about how certain drinks have changed history. History of the World in Six Dishes, how certain dishes, certain foods were adapted and readapted as the conditions changed, as people wandered from one country to another and there were already different ingredients and so on and so forth. Food is not just something that we need three times a day, but food in general is something extremely fascinating.
I agree.
And we're almost out of time. We have about 30 seconds left. Any parting thought, ladies?
Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful Purim, first of all, and I hope everybody I would say that even if you haven't got a lot of time, that you should try to cook something homemade. Get into the kitchen, start simply, don't make things complicated, and open a book, look at a picture, decide what appeals to you. Make something interesting, something new, and just get into the kitchen, get your hands into the preparation, get your family involved in it, and enjoy, because food really is a wonderful way of having peace, I hope, peace at the table, because, I mean, although there could be some kitchen wars as well, you know, do you put the salt in, do you put the garlic in, et cetera, but I think the message is that people should get back into the kitchen. It's a wonderful way to enjoy life and to learn about other people. Daniela?
My last thoughts. Well, thank you so much for having us on your show. I think Noreen and I both appreciate it so much. And also for your very thoughtful questions. I thought they were actually very good and really delved into the book and really got me thinking of menus and stuff like that. And I think the message of our books and the message that I have for everyone is food is really important, but you do not need to spend tons and tons of time in the kitchen to prepare a beautiful meal. The point is to prepare the beautiful food and enjoy the family with it. So prepare your food, make beautiful meals, and enjoy your family and friends, because in life, that's what counts.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you very much, ladies.
And best of luck,
Chaim.
I hope that... Oh, our pleasure. And best of luck with your book. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Be well.
Okay.
Thank you so much for
good
having
night.
Us, Chaim. Good night.
Yep. Good night, one and all.
Good night.
And listen to us again next week, Wednesday, and again on Thursday. Thank you very much, and good night, ladies and gentlemen.